Welcome to Bread Time, everybody. It happened. Charlie Dietz hates Framer. It's all about origami now. Cats and dogs living together. What's up?
I love Framer. That is incorrect information. Okay, so yeah, I have been using origami more than I've been using Framer lately because it's been something intentional that I've been trying to do. And coming to origami from Framer, like I love Framer. I just want to put that very clearly. 1,000 times over, I think Framer is a great tool, and that was very rude of you. 3 years ago when I got to Facebook, I was using origami as my main prototyping tool. At that time, it was still based off of Quartz Composer. I was playing with it and using it. I was also using Framer at the time, but I found myself advancing much more quickly in Framer because I knew how to write some code and stuff, and it just seemed logical to me. Like, I could break out things into sections, I could keep track of the code easier, I'd get lost in the noodles the more complex a prototype would get. Lately, I've noticed I've been making like some smaller prototypes and just like one-off things to kind of like feel out something. And everyone else on my team pretty much uses origami, and I saw how well it runs on the device, right? It's running like Core Animation native code on the device, and it just like feels really good on the device. And we tend to only show each other prototypes on device. I was like, I'll try that for a while again. And to this point, I still think Framer is exceptionally good at handling complex prototypes with like a lot of stuff, but I am really fast in origami. This is something you told me over and over again, and I can like pull something together really, really quick, and I've learned to do that, and I'm enjoying it a lot. So that's...
You fucking love it. You love origami. Just say it.
I like origami quite a bit.
That's not the L word.
Okay, did I say I love Framer?
Maybe.
If I love Framer, then I love origami.
How's that? Okay. Okay, so I love origami. It's changed the way I design since I joined Facebook, and I will do anything to preach it to other designers because I think it is such a fun way to work. And I actually miss it in VR. I don't get to use it as much as I used to, but I love the opportunity to talk about origami whenever possible because I think it is a really fun tool.
Okay, so I'll talk about some of the things that I've noticed like coming over back to origami and like the experiences I've had. Like one is like in Framer, things are named pretty much like what I would expect them, or maybe that's just because I come from code or something. Like it just seems like the naming is very obvious to me in a lot of cases. Like if I need opacity, I have opacity or whatever. Like origami across the board, the naming is really solid as well. But there's some things that stood out to me as like real, like not obvious, like a pop animation, or like what is that compared to animation, like option picker. I didn't really know that I was looking for an option picker when I was trying to have like a conditional per se or something like that. So yeah, I mean, like I know I can read the documentation and stuff, but often I've been asking you questions of like, what's the patch I'm actually looking for? So like, let's say I didn't have you as a resource, how would you tell me to like figure out what I'm actually looking for when I'm thinking about it? Here's one more caveat. I didn't really do tutorials or anything because I had prior origami experience, so I'm leaving that out there too.
Yeah, but that's probably the hardest thing for people to get started and learn how to speak the language of origami. I would say two things. One, when you press command enter to search for patches, you can search for anything. So in the case of pop animation, you can just search for animation or animate or anything like that, and that will come up, and usually there is a description below the patch that explains how it works. So you don't necessarily need to learn the name of the patch, but you can search for something related and the patch will come up. And the second one is to rely on the community. People that know origami usually love teaching origami. That was my experience as well when I was trying to learn it. And anybody was like super eager to learn it. And I think it's because it is such a foreign language that I feel like I have a superpower to be able to speak it and to translate it to others. So I think relying on either people you know that use origami or the origami Facebook community, you post there and you'll get a response within 10 minutes, and people will be very specific and detailed on how to answer your question.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is as soon as I do something once, I do remember it, which is actually a little easier than dealing with code, because like in Framer or something, I might do something once, but I actually kind of have to make a snippet for myself so I remember to do it that next time. Once I like learn something in origami, I think I just pretty much get it after that point, because it really, like, it's just that instantaneous learning curve, which is difficult. The long-term sort of like understanding of it is actually really easy.
The great thing about it is that all the options are usually there for you to look at. So as opposed to code, it's sometimes hard what the knobs you have to play with a certain property. Where here, the patches themselves expose what you can play with or not. So if you just remember the patch, the options will remind you what you can do with that patch. And usually that will trigger the whatever flow you're trying to get through.
So noodles have kept me away from origami. And I would say that they are one of the hardest parts coming back to it. Connecting patches to each other and stuff like that, that doesn't really bother me. I have to live with a little bit of a mess sometimes as I'm laying out my projects. But what's different really now with Origami Studio versus the old school origami is like how you have this constant inspector view. And it was a bit of a challenge for me to learn, at first, at least, when I was supposed to be connecting things over to there. The fact that there's a layer list and then there's patches, my understanding of what goes in those two areas is still a little foggy right now. I know all the assets go in the layer list, and I know I can affect them by connecting the patches to them. But all of my patches essentially start with interactions normally now. Is that pretty much the way it is? Like,
yeah, I mean, it depends what you're working on. Usually mobile, yeah, starts with a tap or a swipe or something like that, and that's a type of interaction. One thing I would say about the patches, though, is that itself is part of the process, at least for me, like how to lay it out, how do you group certain patches together. And that is kind of creative, and I enjoy that very much, just like, you know, like annotating code or something like that. But this is much more visual, and I find really satisfying just connecting one patch to the other. Just that small interaction is really satisfying.
When I jumped back in, I was like talked to Mate, who is a designer on Origami, and I was like, hey, like, I'm coming from Framer, and like all I like to do now is fold my code into, like, you know, coherent sections. I was like, I gotta have this type of feature in Origami. He's like, you have it. He's like, there's grouping. You just group them.
Yeah, Command G is your friend. And you can name patches or groups of patches the way you name layers, right? And you can also have comments around it. So you really have the tools at your disposal to be as organized as you want. Although I would say that because Origami is so fast, it's really easy to be seduced by its speed and just like do something really quick. And you can make a pretty robust prototype in like less than 3 minutes. Mm. That will mean you moving fast and using keyboard shortcuts and have eventually a messy project. But if you spend the time to name your patches and organize them in a way that makes sense, and you can even annotate them the way you would annotate code, you could make something that is real usable. And then you can level up and make your own patches and make your own components and share them with the community, which I think is rewarding as well.
Okay, here's another problem. So like, I'm going to show you on my computer screen now, so I'll describe this to everyone listening. So like, I have this one image, which is like a layer, and I'm affecting it in a couple different ways. I'm changing the Y position, the scale, and the opacity, as well as like the corner radius. I'm doing basically a bunch of manipulations to it at once. This is like kind of like code duplication in my mind, because I'm seeing the patch like five different times with the different sort of properties I'm affecting on it. Is there a way to do that cleaner at all? Or is this like the proper way to do it?
Well, the difference there is that every animation you're doing has different values. Mm-hmm. So each one of them has different like bounciness and speed, which depending how meticulous you want to be, that may be important or not for your prototype. Like, that may be a level of detail you might want to do in a later stage. If you just want to communicate something really quickly, you can use one transition to animation, and then that can connect to all the...
Yeah, I see now. Basically, like, if the animation was just a singular animation, I could be affecting multiple values simultaneously. I see. Okay, so I'm going to play naive again. So here's like some other stuff that I didn't know. Like, hit areas was something that I use this technique quite often in Framer, where I'll create an invisible layer that actually functions as a button for different times in different places. But you actually can do that with like the hit area and manipulate the hit area with all the other like sort of positioning and effects that you have for other layers, which is really cool, because it makes it really fast to start those.
So that's the way I learned how to do web design way back in the day. Like in Dreamweaver, you just like connect hotspots to each other and create interactions that way. You could do that here, or you can even start designing in Origami, right? Like now my workflow is often like I build a button in Origami, and that gives me flexibility to make it adaptive, to change the text label, all the things. But you could be as, you know, scrappy as you want. Like, you could make a whole screen and just make one piece of that screen interact.
So I think like animation stuff, I think, is probably pretty easy for people to get into coming from other tools. But like the idea of the switch and option picker, which I'm using in almost every prototype, I think is a little harder. So there's a switch patch that has three inputs. One is flip, one is turn on and one is turn off, and then its output is just on or off, which is really cool because I didn't at first, I thought I was supposed to always be connecting to the flip, but rarely do you actually use the flip. You're usually kind of using like something to turn it on, something to turn it off to create different interactions. And then hooking those switches into option pickers gives you like all those values that you're going to need to like have it move from position to position. So I think like, yeah, if you're just checking out Origami, like, and you're trying to get something to move from one place to another, check out switches and option pickers, because that's probably like what you're trying to do to get started.
Option picker is actually a one level up from beginner. Beginners can do most things with just a transition patch, which is named in the way that probably makes more sense. When you want to transition from one value to the other, option picker works the same way, except that you can add more than two values.
Cool, yeah, I'm basically doing this wrong then, because yeah, I didn't actually realize the transition patch had the starting and ending built into it. So yeah, for if you have two options, just use the transition patch. If you're going to have more options, then use option picker. That makes a lot of sense. Cool. Yeah, certain things like repeating animations are extremely simple using a patch instead of writing code or using a snippet in Framer. So like repeating animations like a cursor or something like that, blinking on and off, like it's literally like one patch and then you like connect it to the image you're trying to get. That's pretty cool.
I mean, the great thing about it is that you can communicate an idea through an interaction fairly quickly, and speed is the main differentiating factor here. Personally, I enjoy the actual workflow, like the patches and noodles and that visual programming flow. I'll enjoy quite a bit. But if you're indifferent to that, I think speed is something that sells this over anything else. You can make something really quickly.
Yeah, one thing that's really different coming from Framer, like I am very deliberate. I set up a specific sketch file for my Framer prototype of the assets in like starting positions of where I want them to be. And I feel really organized with that. Origami feels a little more chaotic in the way that I'm just like dragging assets in or like copying and pasting them in or whatever. Like it feels a little more like unwieldy in that way because I just don't have a singular point of reference. I'm just pulling them from my normal sketch files and various spots. So I feel like, well, what if I need to recreate that button now? Like, am I for sure going to get the same one? And was it for sure the same size? What if I screwed up? Those things are a little scary to me because I just don't feel like as insane amount of like particular control. But at the same time, that's exactly what you're saying. Like I can make the prototype in essentially 3 minutes sometimes because I just already pull the assets I already have, drop them in there really quick, just pop together a few noodles and it's working, which is crazy.
Yeah, the question is, when do you need that level of precision or meticulousness, right? Like, one thing that Origami does is that it allows for exploration. In code, I think it's a little harder, at least for me, to dump something that I made because it took me like, you know, 30 minutes to make and do something completely different. Where Origami allows me to play in the prototyping, so I can make something, play with it, and then make something new again. And that is something that I think is unique to the prototyping process. There's still a stage after that, which is defining exactly what the values are, what the easing animations and all these things, like the really like detailed specking of the solution. I think for that, robust prototyping tools usually shine best. So for the app that I just released, we built basically the entire app in Unity from end to end and did it in a way that was very robust. And that would have been almost impossible to do in a tool like Origami. But before we got to that stage, we explored a bunch of different directions in Origami very quickly and then jumped to like a more robust prototyping tool at the end.
One thing I love that's a feature of Origami is like being able to record the screen so easily and also record it like essentially in a simulator that's like the same size of your screen, because then you can just send it to someone and like they can view it on their device as if it was actually happening. That's really like a sweet feature in how fast it is.
Yeah, how you share those ideas, I think still needs some work. Like the fact that we just use videos, the aspect ratio of the video now could fit into your screen and you could pretend that you're interacting with it, but you're still pretending. Like I think that's actually something that I really admire about Framer, is that you can share a prototype really easily and somebody can view it on their phone and interact with it then. And Origami has something similar. There's an Origami viewer that can load prototypes, but then you require somebody to download that viewer and know how to interact with it. So I think there's still some room there for exploring how to actually share a prototype in a way that is actually interactive.
Touché.
The the debate usually is code versus no code, right? The fact that you've said this many times that prototyping in Framer helps you become a better developer because you are writing code and you're thinking the way a developer will think. I think that's very valuable and definitely useful and for certain projects. The alternate approach is you don't necessarily need to worry about that and you work in an environment that allows for experimentation in a way that code doesn't. Right, and do that in a way that is fast and maps to a more creative process. And I think that's why I gravitate towards origami. Again, I can do something very quickly and do like five versions of that in the time that it takes me to do one version of it in Framer, even though the Framer version might be more aligned with how engineers think.
Yeah, I love that in Framer, I'm basically thinking through a lot of the logic of the interactions through the code I'm writing. It just helps me like stay on point and make sure that I'm not designing something that's like unnecessarily overwhelming because I have to actually code it a little bit myself first. Origami also achieves that in the way that you can't make something in Origami that isn't going to be coded. I mean, maybe you could actually, but the thing is, like, in Origami, you're still dealing with the same building blocks of logic. You're just not writing the code. So I think, like, other than the fact that it requires a lot of energy to ramp up into it. I think once you get past that initial hump in Origami, you're actually freewheeling for a while. Like, you've got like some runway there. Once you get the initial patches down that you're going to be using a lot of the time, I think you can probably accomplish quite a bit.
Those are like five patches. They're like you with like four or five patches, you can do 80% of what everyone in the world can do.
No, yeah, I mean, after like 2 weeks of using Origami a lot, I feel like I can do anything now. Right? Or not anything, but like a lot of stuff. Framer, on the other hand, is an ongoing learning experience, and that's they're often releasing like new features to Framer that you can like plug into and do new things. Well, like they just created the flow component, which actually like greatly simplifies like 99% of your interactions doing normal UI stuff. But there's always like further I feel like I can go in Framer, and maybe that there's that for Origami too, but it's more obvious to me in Framer in a way. Like I can continue to become a better coder. I can learn to write better arrays and loops and stuff like that. And that makes me feel like I'm learning some programming skills simultaneously.
Cool. So we enjoy talking about this a lot. This has been probably the most technical episode of Bread Time so far. And we're very jazzed about that. So if you have any questions about Framer or Origami, let us know. Or if you have a third option that we're not considering, let us know. Like new tools are always exciting to us. We're Bread Time FM on Twitter. We have a website, breadtime.fm. If you message us, we can add you to our Slack channel and we can talk about what it means to prototype and how to make it better. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz.
Proto out.
Proto out.